Please welcome Pastor Mel Tari.
Somebody give me a J.
Yay.
An E.
G.
An S.
S.
A U.
U.
An S.
S.
Who is he?
Jesus.
Who is here?
Jesus.
Who will speak to you?
Jesus.
Who will send you to the nation?
Jesus.
Who will heal you now?
Jesus.
Who is the man?
Jesus.
Who do you love?
Jesus.
Who loves you?
Jesus.
Who is the one the world needs? Ladies and gentlemen, the meeting is over. You are dismissed. That part, I was just kidding. Because preachers never waste the opportunity to preach. I'm a man with a mission. And I don't fly from Dana Point, leaving my wife and the kids there to come here to see your pretty face for nothing. Because I could have celebrated New Year's Eve at home, but I chose to come here because I'm looking for a man and a woman that will determine to love Jesus so that his and her life will make a difference in this generation for the glory of God. I'm not coming to a cathedral, even though I would like those cathedrals. I'm not coming because of the four walls of this building. I'm coming because I'm looking for the church for which he said, upon this rock I build it, and the very gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Ladies and gentlemen, 2017 is the year of breakthrough, where each one of you sitting here will rise to the full potential that God has for you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the meeting that heaven will always remember, because this is the meeting that you determine to be God's partner and to be all that God has created you to be. I'm looking for Paul that will bring the gospel to the nations. I'm looking for a Joseph that will bring provision for the nations. I'm looking for an Elijah that will bring fire down. I'm looking for somebody that will partner with Jesus and make a difference in this generation. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to start this new year well. And this will be the day that heaven will always remember, because this is the day you are the one that will rise and listen to the word of the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit to propel you to fulfill your destiny. Oh, let this be the day that hell will never forget. Because this is the day that you and I will determine to push back the boundaries of the kingdom of the evil one. And we are going to advance the boundaries of the kingdom of heaven. I know that, because 50 years ago in a small little town, almost 52 now here, Pastor Benjamin, a young boy, 19 years old, by the name Mel, found Jesus and was possessed by the Holy Spirit. Came from where he came from. In the natural, there is nothing he can do. They are poor. They live in a primitive island. Even when the rain comes from the Indian Ocean, from the west, the water falls in the big islands of Sumatra and Java and Bali. By the time the water or the rain got to my little island, there's nothing but hot air left. It looks like we are abandoned and forgotten. But no, sir. 52 years ago, the Holy Ghost came down, touched our lives, and he gave us a command that was impossible to believe or do in the natural. And he said, go unto all the world and preach the gospel. I remember saying to him, God, are you sure you know what you're talking about? We don't even have a bicycle to go to the next street. Not even a horse to go to the next village. And you are telling us to go unto all the world to preach the gospel, and we don't even have 2 pennies to rub together. He said, son, I'm not talking about how much money you have. I'm talking about the wealth of the nation in my bank that I'm going to release if you listen to me and you go. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been 50 years. I just this year, on March the 18th, celebrated my 70th year. Birthday. Oh, but I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm stronger and healthier today than when I was 20 years old. And I challenge you, young ones, 50 years from now, I want to meet you again and see what you have accomplished for God. Because I will. And I expect that because of this day, you will. I have walked with Jesus for 50 years. So ladies and gentlemen, especially the young ones, look forward for at least minimum 5 day decades of excitement and life with Jesus. I said it out of experience, not because of who I was and who I am, but because who he is. What's his name?
Jesus!
Oh, he is here, ladies and gentlemen. He has done it before you and I were here. He hanged the stars in the sky and he created the world that you and I are living in today. He has done it all and he will do it.
Again.
You got it, girl. He will do it.
Again.
Oh, yes, ladies and gentlemen. Let this be the day that heaven will always remember. Come in. And this will be the day that hell will never forget. Because this is the day that that God touched your life, heal you, and release you unto the fullness of your destiny. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I was telling Pastor Benjamin here, we haven't seen each other for a while. I think since Alita was about a year or 2 years old, somewhere there. And so I always bug him once a year or 6 months, whenever, you know, like Christmas or, you know, some special days, you know. I just text him, you know.
Yeah.
For a while, he didn't text me back. When I mean a while, I mean a couple of years, you know. So I finally figure, well, maybe people change phones, you know. But I figure until I know for sure that he changed his phone, he's going to hear from me. Lo and behold, one day I heard back from him. So let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Never give up in doing that which you know is right. Because you never know when the time comes, you will hit not the jackpot in Las Vegas, but heaven's jackpot. Oh, and when heaven jackpot come your way, it is health, it is blessing, it is healing, it is the abundance, it is prosperity, it is life and life everlasting. Oh, because Jesus, he is the beginning and the end, Alpha and Omega. When we talk about Happy New Year, we talk about the first day. The first one has to be Jesus. He's Alpha. And the last one, which is last night, is Omega, which is also him. He covered it from January 1st to December 31st and every point in between. Oh, how can we lose, ladies and gentlemen? We have been destined for victory. We have been condemned to the greatness and to see the power of God released. That is our destiny. That is your destiny. And that is why I am excited to be here this morning. Listen to the word of the Lord. Jesus said, if any one of you thirsty, a thirsty person has to be a person that is desperate for something they couldn't live without. I wonder what you and I are desperate for. Oh, this Christmas, somebody always want and desperate for that little egg that, what do you call that thing? What do you call the egg that, hatching egg. I remember, I think our daughter-in-law told us about it. Somebody told me about it. And I said, how's that look? So, you know, you can always go to YouTube, you know, or whatever, this thing here, and look at it. And I think Joy saw it to me. And I look at it, I said, what a shame. That thing finally hatched in a stupid little whatever, you know. What is that pop out of it? I can't even remember. Yeah, like a chick. Like, but it isn't a real one. It's a fake deal. Oh, you know, where I grew up, you see the real hatch
of the real chick.
And when that chick get out of the eggshell, it's alive. It is twerping. It is praising God. It's good. When I saw this other one, I said, no, that is just somebody trying to get your money. You know, I'm telling you, that is just somebody trying to get your money. Oh, so ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. Let us go for the real thing. And the real thing is Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, I wonder if somebody here this morning hungry and thirsty for something that is real. For somebody that hold the living water in his hand. He said, if you're thirsty, means if you're really desperate. And if you're hungry, you can wait for a couple hours before you can eat. You might get ornery, but you can wait. A day or two, some people go for longer than that, and they didn't die. Because you can go, according to some people, you know, I wouldn't try it, you know, for 40 days without food, and you can survive. It has happened. But not when you are thirsty. When you are thirsty, ladies and gentlemen, that is emergency. You got to get the water right away. Because if you don't, you're going to be dead before the day is over. No wonder Jesus used that as a way to illustrate the importance, the necessity, the hunger, the desire, the desperation that need to exist in our heart. If we want to start this New Year's right, in order we can impact the nations for the glory of God. Ladies and gentlemen, God loves America. You might not agree with it, but let me just tell you the reason I know is because 40-some years ago, he told me to come to America. This is after 5 years traveling all over my country, accepting Jesus when I was 19, traveling, preaching the gospel in the island. And to my surprise, ladies and gentlemen, things happened that the Bible said it can, but the church said it can't. You know, the church always have all kind of opinions, us human beings, you know. You talk with two or three of them, you always have 5, 6 different opinions between the church, you know, the Christians and, you know, the smart people in the world today. But never mind, just go with the Bible. You stick with the Bible, you never go wrong. And so we went out and preached the gospel and tell people about Jesus. Not that we know everything about Jesus. You know, one mistake that we all made. We want to wait until we got everything down pat before we're going to do something about it. If you're going to wait until you got everything down pat, you're going to be pat and you're going to be down and nothing's going to be happening. You're going to be waiting forever. Start with whatever you know. I did it. I went down the village there by the side of the river and I said to the mom and dad and said, look what, I've been in church for 19 years, you know, by then. And I said, I just accepted Jesus the other day. And the reason being, I was sick with malaria for 4 years during my high school years. And I was praying for healing and taking the medicine for healing, but nothing happened. Well, I begin to wonder how come I pray for healing for 4 years and nothing happened. Well, I came to Jesus one day and I begin to ask him the question. I said, Lord, how come the Bible said ask and you shall receive? I've been asking and haven't received nothing. Well, after that little conversation, I said, it really hurt my feelings, Lord, you know, that you didn't answer my prayers here. What's wrong with the church? Well, it's always good to blame somebody, you know, and the church is an easy place to blame. But may I suggest to you, ladies and gentlemen, if you go through life just trying to find somebody to blame, I tell you, you're going to find a lot of people and a lot of things to blame. But you will never find the answer that you need to move forward in God. I suggest ask the question, is there anything wrong with me, Lord? And so I asked that question after asking him the question, what is wrong with the church, which he didn't answer for about the whole day, and my knees were really hurting, you know, waiting for the answer. Finally, I got a little smart and said, Lord, is there anything wrong with me? Probably. I said, probably, because I didn't think there's anything wrong with me. I've gone to church all my life. I've been a good boy. Haven't got many chance to sin. You know, little ones, little white lie here and there, but, you know, that's not any worse than some people who did worse than that. So I thought I was okay. And to my surprise, ladies and gentlemen, the moment I asked that question, so that's why I suggest to you, if you're not serious about getting the answer, don't start with that question to begin with. Because the moment I asked that question, is there anything wrong with me? Probably, I heard an audible voice. I'm not saying it's like what Moses heard, but I was on there, so I'm just saying it might be like what Moses heard. And the voice said, yes! I was so shocked that the voice said, yes. I turned around and said, devil got thee behind me. Then I got smart enough to realize that I was talking to God, so the devil probably wouldn't interrupt. You know, the devil might be bad, but he know the protocol too. So I don't think he was saying that. But now that I figure out or think that it wasn't the devil, I better continue the conversation. So I said, Lord, what's wrong? I've gone to church for 93 years, baptized and the whole works. You know, what's wrong? He said, well, Mel, you have been in church for 19 years and that is good. Glory. He noticed. That's a good opening line. But the continuation of the conversation was very upsetting to yours truly. Because the voice said, but you are not a Christian yet. You are not my child. I said, now that is not right. Papa and Mama have brought me to church and baptized me when I was young. I was there when Pastor Benjamin and Sonny preaching. I never missed the church a week that I can remember. And Grandpa and Grandma has gone to church all their life. How dare you to tell me that? Got off my knees, opened the front door, slammed the door behind me. And I said, I'm going to leave God alone in my prayer room until he apologized for the way he was talking. Went down the road and stayed with my friends for a couple of days waiting for God to apologize. He didn't. Finally, my curiosity got the best of me. I went back to the room, opened the door, gingerly tiptoeing into the room where I was praying. I have a little, you know, when you're wrong, you know, people don't really have to tell you you are. Really. Yeah. You know it. Sometimes we try to avoid it. And we said, the girl don't know what she's talking about. We just talk ourselves into feeling good. But down deep, we knew, I think an apology is appropriate here. You know what I mean? I know you folks don't know what I'm talking about, but you know, I'm telling you a story, so follow me, please. You know? I know. And so I said, Lord, I'm sorry for walking out on you the other day. But I forgive you for the way you talk and hurt my feelings. I want to make sure he knows that. If you forgive me for walking out to you. Okay, I said, now we're even. You forgive me, I forgive you. I said, now let us continue the conversation. Now, why did you say that I'm not a Christian after I've gone to church all for 19 years? Isn't going to church every year qualify me to become a Christian? And I figure I got God's cornered. And the voice came back to me. And this is what the voice said. Mel, if going to the church every Sunday or going to the barn. You guys in Oakland know the barn? Okay. You know, I just want to ask the question because, you know, living in America, there are people who think watermelon grow up in the trees. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, not everybody, but some people do. So the voice said to me, if going to the barn once a week qualify you to become a Christian, to become a cow, if going to the barn once a week qualify you to become a cow. I didn't feel good when I heard that. Because I know what's coming is true, but it's not good, at least to me. Then going to the church every Sunday will not qualify you to become a Christian. If you can become a cow by going to the barn, then you can be a Christian by going to the church. And I was, you know, smart enough to know that you can go to the barn every Sunday. You can sleep in the barn every night. You may smell like a cow or got dirtier than a cow or maybe learn to moo like a cow. But you don't become a cow by going to the barn. So you don't become a Christian by going to the church either. Because the church, ladies and gentlemen, is not the building we go to, but it is who we are when Jesus become our personal Savior. So I got the message. John chapter 1 verse 12 said, as many as receive him. Ladies and gentlemen, Christmas is not just the gift and the lights and, you know, the discounts in stores and all that. All those are good. We Americans, we like it. Praise God, you know, for all that things. Especially if you have grandchildren like us. We just got the first one, Lucas, 3 years old, and Sophie, 6 months old. Oh, we just spoil them rotten with gifts, you know. We love it. They enjoy it. The little one don't know what's going on, but, you know. But ladies and gentlemen, after all the gifts that we receive and give in Christmas, remember, the Father, God, gave us only one gift. It isn't salvation either, in case you want to argue that point. It isn't forgiveness, it isn't healing, it isn't blessing, it isn't anything. For God so loved the world, he gave us
his only
begotten Son. The gift is not anything but a person. That is the only one that came from heaven. So if you want to receive your Christmas gift, wouldn't it be terrible that you got a gift under the tree and you said, oh yeah, let's give it to somebody. I haven't seen anybody who do that kind of stupidity in my life. Oh, I haven't seen anybody who got the gift with their name and said, oh, well, I'll open it next year. No, sir. You make sure you got the gift, you open it, and you take what is there for you. That is an appropriate attitude for the gift. But ladies and gentlemen, heaven only give one gift, and his name is Jesus. What have we done with that gift? In my case, for 19 years, I did nothing, but that day, I got smart, and I accepted Jesus in my heart. And you know what? Damn me, I forgot to ask for my malaria to be healed. But I did the smart thing. I accepted the gift. I accepted Jesus into my heart. And ladies and gentlemen, when you got the gift, when you got Jesus, I promise you, you got a big surprise. Because Jesus is the Savior. You got the Savior, you got what? You got salvation. Jesus is also the healer. So when you got Jesus, you got healing. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So when you got Jesus, you got peace. I mean, we can go on and on. You know, by that book, you know, he can tell you who Jesus is from Genesis to Revelation. Each of those Bibles tells us about who Jesus is. But it is the person that we must receive, worship, and love. And once you got him, ladies and gentlemen, it is surprise galore. Because in him, and because of him, everything came with it. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I forgot to ask for my healing. But because, you know, I was excited. I went out and tell all my friends about Jesus. I met Jerry the first time. And I said, Jerry, get down to your knees. He's Korean, you know, so he's a little shy. But I finally got him to do it, Jerry. I finally got you to do it. So don't make me a fool. On your knees, Jerry. It's kind of good to do it to the elders, you know. You happy? She's happy. She's happy. Because she never got Jerry to kneel down. And I said, Jerry, thank you, Jerry. Give Jerry a hand. For being so good, Jerry, I'm going to sing you a song. Yesunim sarang hamida. Yesunim sarang hamida. Yesunim sarang hamida. Yesunim. Sarang Hamida. The rest of you, you guess what it means. No, it means, you know, Jesus. I love Jesus. Jesus loves me. It's a good song. The Lord gave me that song in Korea many years ago. Simple song. And so Jerry was such a good man here, so I just have to give him that New Year's presents. So ladies and gentlemen, a week later, felt good after telling Jerry that he need to be born again, accept Jesus, and other Jerrys and Susans and all our friends. A month later, I still feel good. So I remember thinking to myself, whoa, I have been healed probably. A year later, I'm still feeling good. Yeah. I said, you know what? I think the miracles has happened. I'm just pretty sure about it. Ladies and gentlemen, 50 years later, 50 plus, I'm here today. I'm stronger and healthier today than when I was 19 years old. And I'm convinced that Jesus is. Yay, Jesus. Yay, Jesus. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you can't change my mind about who I know this Jesus is. That's why I'm here this morning. I said, he's Alpha and Omega. Start the new year with Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. This Jesus said, well, before I tell you what he said, I went down the road there. I didn't know much about anything. So I told the people by the river, you need to ask Jesus to come to their heart. They said, why? I said, don't ask me why. That is a stupid question. When somebody gives you a piece of cake, did you ask the question, why? Dumbbell, just eat the cake. If somebody gives you something good that you like, did you say, what is the ingredients in this? How stupid you can be. How do you cook the thing here? What kind of vitamins in it? That why is a stupid question. You just do it, okay? Somebody give you something good, take it, okay? We got so smart that many, many times we just literally deprive ourselves of the best that God has for us because we try to be smart. Now let me ask you a question. Do you know how the refrigerator operates where there's cool over here and freezing over here? Do you know how that happened? You don't, neither do I, so that's okay. Do you know why you put the thing on the car, the, what do you call it? No, not the gas, the, what do you call it? The shift, the gear. That, thanks, sis. When you put it on D, it goes forward, is it right? On R, it goes back or something like that. Do you know why it happened like that? You don't have a clue. That's right. Only the guys in Ford and Hyundai and all them places, they figure it out. You just need them guys to figure it out. You and I don't ask the stupid question why it happened. Just put it on D and drive out. So I tell the people, you want to know why all about Jesus? You ask him to come to your life and you're going to have yourself eternity to discover the greatness of his grace, his love, and his power. I've walked with him 50 years. I've known better or more than 50 years ago. But let me tell you something. I haven't known everything yet. Every day I always discover a new thing about Jesus. And I love it. So don't think like you have to know everything about Jesus before you tell somebody about it. Oh, don't think that you have to have all the theological disputes settled before you ask Jesus. By the time you got it settled, you're going to be, you know, over in the place you don't want to be. You know, I'm telling you the truth. Just make it simple this New Year's Day. Make this the day that heaven will always remember. Make this the day that hell will never forget. Because today you say, Jesus, you in my life, and I'm going to listen to your voice. And Holy Ghost, I'm going to obey you. And Jesus, we're going to be partners to make a difference in the world. Because I am thirsty. I'm thirsty. I'm desperate. I'm desperate. I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty. So Lord Jesus, I want a drink. But you know what Jesus said? The next part of what he said is the exciting part of it. Come and I will give you a drink. Yeah. And he said, out of your innermost being. If you drink today, ladies and gentlemen, when you leave this building here, he promised out of your innermost being shall what? Somebody tell me here. Flow. So wimpy. This girl is the only one who knows how to really say it. All right, now everybody, 1, 2, 3, out of your being shall flow. There's a river here I want to show you. Tolong ya ditaruh yang anu fotonya itu. I'm talking with Irene in the heavenly language, which is Indonesian. Can everybody see this? This is the picture of the river. Can you see it from the back there? Okay. This is the Paraná River. The Paraná River starts from the mountains of Curitiba, south of Sao Paulo and Rio de Janeiro. At this point, the Paraná River has been flowing for about 800, 600 kilometers or miles. I was taking off from the airport, and as we were taking off, I saw something that I want to take the picture of. With this phone here, the only problem is, you know, when you got to them stupid airplanes, the steward is always, ladies and gentlemen, turn off your whatever. So you try to be nice. You don't want a girl to come and, you know, look at you with a, you know, mat or whatever. So you turn off the phone. Then I put it in my jacket, that jacket over there. So I want to take the picture as we are taking off. So I have to find a stupid phone. Take about 5 seconds to find it. And then after you find the stupid phone, you have to make it alive. You know what I mean? And it takes another few seconds for that to happen. And then after you see it and the icons begin to show up, you have to put your passcode. What's my passcode again? By the time you remember the stupid passcode, the airplane is 10,000 feet. The picture you want to take is way down there. It wasn't as clear as when you just first have the mind to take the picture. And then you got the icons. Now the girls like this one and the kids, they can just close their eyes and they find the icons. Not me. I can stare at the icons and I can't find where the stupid camera icon is. Can you imagine these girls and these kids nowadays? They sit next to each other and they're talking. I still can't figure out how they got the letters and, you know, because whenever I try to type, I want to type the letter M, I always got the N over there. And you know how sometimes you can come up with a stupid word that you didn't intend to? That could be, you know, never mind, let's not go there. I'm going to finish the story, okay? So I finally found the stupid icon, took the picture, and that's how it is. It's kind of a decent picture, I should say so myself. But it doesn't get the thing that I want to show you. And the thing that I want to show you is this part here. That is like a plume of water. So this is the Paraná River. Now when you got the river, wherever the river flow, there is life, there is fish, there's entertainment, you can go skiing, and there's all kind of good things that the river can bring wherever the river goes. I was telling Pastor Benjamin here that the Lord spoke to me, and I want you to hear this. This is not only for him and son, he as a ministry pastors here, but this is for the church. The Lord said this 2017 will be the year where the well is going to bubble up and become headwaters that caused the river to begin to flow. This river here starts from the headwaters of the mountains of Curitiba. And I'm going to tell you today that from the mountain that calls Zion for the place called Living Hope. This year, if you drink of this water, ladies and gentlemen, it will bubble up and become rivers of living water. You know what? If you have a well, it's good. But you know, one thing about the well is that its usefulness is limited to where the well is. If the well is in Emeryville, California, and you live in San Diego, you just can't get access unto the water that is in the well. So the well is limited to where it is located. Another thing about the well, in case you don't, you Americans, bless you. I'm an American too, but you know what I mean. I mean you young ones. You push the button and the thing, the water come up because there's a, the pump, the electric pump. Not in the wells that Jesus is talking about. You want to go to Jacob's well, you better got yourself a strong arm and a long rope and a container. So you have to lower it down. And you have to work it, you know. Finally, I mean, it's quite a chore to get the well out of the water. It takes, I believe you, Jesus. Yeah, it's going to happen. Woo-hoo! holler and yell. But, you know, sometimes you just holler and yell. Another thing about a well, people can put in debris in it. Sometimes you do it yourself too, but not for the folks here. You folks here, you never did it. But, you know, people, you know, other places. Southern California. We put in thoughts and, you know, things that we just kind of put it in. Sometimes we did not only we put it in, we let the old devil put in every crap that he can bring our way. I should say C-R-A-P, you know, but you know what I mean. Let's just be honest here. And sometimes we took in everything that our neighbors say to us, you know. Well, we have the reason to be upset because after the church, Sonny hugged her but didn't hug me. So we allow the debris to eventually, if we keep on doing it, it's going to stuff the well with bitterness and forgiveness. I can't believe it, you know. They call it living hope. I ain't got no hope here. Because they're nice to me. They invite somebody else for the work, for the occasion. They act like we didn't exist. Well, the well can come up with a lot of debris in it and it can eventually poison the water. But ladies and gentlemen, the Lord said this year, if you drink from this living water, the well will bubble up and become hot waters that will let the river to flow. And I tell you what, you can throw in some garbage into that river, but that river will flush it off and just carry it down. It will impact it no more. Because the river that flows according to Ezekiel, he saw it in Isaiah 47. He said, the further you go, the deeper that river becomes. And wherever the river goes, there is life. There is trees in both sides. It brings fruit every month. And the healings from the trees become what? Healing to the nations. Oh, wherever this river goes, there is life. Ladies and gentlemen, the Paraná River. It is a good river. No, not yet. Mafia Arian. She's good. You got to let the preacher to build to the point. Then you hit it. Oh, Irene. That's okay. We rehearsed this, but, you know, we just about get it. But ladies and gentlemen, the river bring life and it bring all those. But you have to get to the river in order to get the benefit of the water. But let me tell you how you can multiply the effect of the river in order to reach way beyond where the river is flowing. Hit it, Irene. Sounds up. Sound down, just loop it please. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the Paraná River. Because at the point that I show you before, go back to the photo so I can kind of help my friends here to see. The photo back please, Irene. To the photo please. This is the point that I want to take the picture. But after 15,000 feet, that's all I got. Luckily, the day before I was there, go back to the picture please. And I got that picture there, but no sound needed. Look at me, please. You know, I'm more interesting than that. No, just kidding. But just let it go so you understand what I'm trying to tell you. The river not only flows and bring life where the river flows, when the reaper is willing to take a risk and dive and go down and pay the price and do something that it has never done before. You see, when rivers flow, it's sippy-doo-da, sippy-doo-da. It's comfortable to be in the church. Sundays we show up, after the worship we hug each other, and then we go back home, sippy-doo-da. It's okay, I'm not saying it isn't. Oh, but ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that that river of God in 2017 will take the risk and take the plunge for the sake of the nations. When Eleanor Roosevelt went there, this is Mrs. Eleanor Roosevelt, I don't know her, she was here when I was unborn, or maybe, I don't know, none of us were here. This is the Iguazu Falls, the great waters in the border of Brazil, Paraguay, and Argentina. And when Mrs. Eleanor Roosevelt saw that, and this is what she said, and every tour guide in Iguazu Falls will never let any Americans to forget it. Because Eleanor Roosevelt said it. She looked at that and she said, poor Niagara. Niagara is great, but you put Niagara next to Iguazu Falls, ladies and gentlemen, and you have to agree with Eleanor Roosevelt. The river that become a mighty waterfall. You don't see it, but over to this side, just wait a moment, move over that way. I can't tell it, but you know, yeah, it's obeying. Thank you, Jesus. Over here, somewhere here, there is a hydroelectric power plant that take the power of the waterfall and create millions and billions of kilowatt of power. And you know what happened? The river only benefit the area where the river flows. But the power created by the waterfall from there is sent all over Brazil and Latin America. Listen to this. Wherever that power arrives, darkness has to disappear. Because when somebody flipped that light, light show up and darkness just have to say goodbye. Somebody charge their iPhones and call mama over in Brazil or somewhere there. Wherever that power goes, they created commerce. There's airplane factories and car factories and all kind of life exists. Billions and billions of dollars was created in the world of commerce, and life were changed in nation way thousands of miles where the river, where the waterfall is. So, ladies and gentlemen, I came this morning. I'm a man with a mission. I'm looking for somebody who is thirsty and desperate enough to say, Jesus, if 50 years ago you touched Mel Tari's life, and as a result he has seen millions come to Jesus. I just came back from Portland, and this pastor told me a story that really touched me. I wrote the book Like a Mighty Wind, and they took it 20 years ago and translated it into Vietnamese. And the pastor said, that book translated into Vietnamese caused at least 1.5 million Vietnamese in the mountains to come to know Jesus. Wow. Miracles happen like what the Bible said. Wow. And I can tell you about how people has been raised from the dead, water turned into wine in my little island. It happened because, somebody tell me!
Jesus!
Oh, Jesus! It is Jesus! He changed water into wine a long time ago. He can do it
today.
Now again with you. All you need to do, ladies and gentlemen, is let the river flow. Let the river flow. All you and I need to do is say, Jesus, I'll do my little part. I'm willing to go to Oakland Memorial Hospital and lay my hands somebody in the ICU so that you can heal them. Don't go there trying to figure out, now how is the miracles going to happen? All right, somebody, camera please, so that we can put it in Instagram. The That is a stupid American way of doing things. Not that you shouldn't do it. That's not my point. But ladies and gentlemen, don't go there thinking, how is that going to happen? Why did you need to know how it's going to happen? Are you the one who's going to heal the guy? No. I have seen people raised from the dead, the blind see, the cripple walk, but to this day I don't have a clue how the guy healed. Pastor just told us when I was here the first time and the lady walked. I don't even know who she is and I don't know how that happened. She told me about her mama and she said I was praying. I can't even remember praying for her mama. But I'm going to enjoy seeing her mama after church because she's cooking good food and I'm heading that direction. And she told me that mama was healed from whatever mama was having problem for years and years and years. And mama is doing great. Ladies and gentlemen, don't wait until you know how to do it. It is important you know who can and will do it. His name is?
Jesus.
That is so wimpy. Who is, what is his name?
Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Make me happy. Because ladies and gentlemen, if you drink of this water, in Isaiah chapter 55, old Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, encouraged the Old Testament or the people in that generation. Stupid iPad. I hate these things. I like it, but you have to slide it. Put your, you know, passcode. Okay, it's there. Hey, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. If you have no money, come anyway. You don't have no money means you don't quite qualify it. You don't got what it takes to get it. All right? No offense. No offense. You ain't got it. You ain't qualified. But if he call you, he will qualify you. Okay? So don't look at yourself how you can do it, how smart you are. I mean, some of us smart, including yours truly. Oh, but that ain't gonna cut it. What's gonna make it happen is the one, the Alpha and Omega, the creator of the universe. He said, come, you don't have no money? That's okay. In this world, you go to Macy and you don't have no money. You just go and drool, brother, sister. You ain't gonna get nothing out of Nordstrom with no money. Oh, but for them, from the treasures of heaven, you ain't got no money? Come anyway. Buy the milk and the honey. Oh, it talks about the goodies and all the great things. Buy it. Come and drink all you need. One qualification. You got to be thirsty. And if you're thirsty, ladies and gentlemen, heaven have all that you can drink today. You know, you remember the story in the Bible where the little boy got 5 pieces of bread, remember? And people ate. Do you know how Jesus multiplied the bread? You don't have a clue. Neither do I. But he gave Jesus the 5 pieces of bread. And Jesus multiplied to the multitude. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, healing and all the miracles is not your department, okay? You don't have a clue how it happened. Neither do I. Oh, but Jesus knows what to do. All you need to do, like the little boy, give him the 5 pieces and he'll figure it out. I came to America 45 years ago. They have a meeting like this, maybe half the congregation. The translator is supposed to be there. The stupid jerk didn't show up. Sorry, Lord, for the unsanctified expression. Well, I was mad at him. He promised to come. He didn't. Remind me of many Christians. No. And so I was stuck without an interpreter. And so they worshiped the Lord and they said, now we're going to hear from the Lord. I said, yeah, you hear from the Lord, not me. I ain't volunteering for this thing. They said, it's true, Brother Mel. I said, oh, Lord. So I went to the front. Luckily, they didn't have this tinsy pulpit like this. It's a 5-ton oak pulpit, you know. I lean on it, you know, and I was a little shaking. You know, I was worried. But luckily, they're all charismatics. When you shake, they think you're filled with the Holy Ghost, which I was. But I was a little, you know, concerned about it. I said, Lord, what shall I do? He said, open your mouth and say, brothers and sisters in Christ, can you do that? Yeah, I said, I can do that, but what's next? The old devil said, if you don't know how to speak English, shut up. You look wise. You start talking and you only give one sentence, you're going to look like a fool. I turned around and said, devil, when did I ask you your stupid opinion? Let me suggest to you something. Never argue with the devil because he's always outsmart you. You're not the first one he argue with. There's millions before you and he won a lot of them. So don't try to argue with the devil. If the devil try to tell you something that is contrary to what the Holy Ghost tells you, you say, devil, when did I ask you your stupid opinion? Put stupid in there. Put stupid in there. Okay. So say to the devil, when did I ask you your
stupid
opinion? So I turned around and said, brothers and sisters in Christ, and you ladies might appreciate this, somebody took hold of my tongue. And I began to speak to the people for the next hour. The people in the congregation understood every word of it but me. I was so nervous. I walked up and down, waving my arm just to entertain myself, you know. 50 minutes later, my tongue quit, and I said, thank you, Jesus. Can you imagine girls keep on talking? No, you can't imagine that. My tongue quit, I quit. They walk out the door, and they said, Brother Mel, God has spoken to me today. Tears coming down. I said, yeah, he did. I didn't. Can't take credit on that one. So I didn't understand 99% of what was said. Except sometimes, you know, my tongue say Jesus. I understand that one. Bible, I said, yeah, that sounds familiar. But not the rest of it. But ladies and gentlemen, from that moment on, God gave me a perfect understanding of the English language. And here, 45 years later, by the grace of God, I'm able to communicate to you. You are the recipient of that miracle that took place 45 years ago. And ladies and gentlemen, if Jesus can do it with me, oh, I'm looking for a man, I'm looking for a woman, I'm looking for a young one, I'm looking for an older one, like Moses, 80 years old, and he went for another 40 years. It doesn't matter how old you are. I'm looking for somebody with an attitude of Caleb. He said, God promised 45 years ago, I'm still as strong when the promise is given. I haven't seen it, but give me that mountain. And he did it. He got it. I'm looking for young men and young women. Anybody in this room here who said, ah, a Christian with an attitude. The devil is not going to stop me from entering unto the mountain and capturing the mountain which God has promised me. I'm going to make a difference in my generation. And I'm going to drink of this water. And he said, and I don't know how he's going to do it. Don't try to figure it out. All right, dumbbell. I didn't mean you, but I'm just talking. Don't try to figure it out. Just come and drink. Because he will be the one that caused that water to become rivers of living water. Anybody ready to drink? Come up to the front, please. Quickly.